You may be seated. If you would turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. My subject this morning, the Father's God-given authority. Whether men realize it or not, you are the priest in your home. That God puts you in a set position. And in that position, you have authority. I know our culture doesn't like this. They want to say that everyone is equal. It doesn't make you less than equal to be under authority. I'm a man under authority. When I was in the military, I was a man under authority. They didn't ask me when I wanted to eat. They didn't ask me when I wanted to go to bed. They didn't ask me if I wanted to go on patrol. I just found myself a man under authority. And in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has an order. And in the home, God has an order. And men, you have the greatest responsibility that anyone could have when it comes to rearing your children. So I want to talk to men today, and the Word of God teaches us that men, you are responsible for your family. Spiritual termites, they have been destroying the foundation of our society. And God is looking for some men who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge for their families. God has entrusted children to their parents. We've got people in here, their grandparents. We've got brand new parents in here today and little children. So this will touch every man in here and those of you that are watching by live stream. God has entrusted children to their parents. And it's the parents who are responsible for their children. We often hear the phrase that the church is losing its young people. But the fact of the matter is the church has no young people to lose because God has entrusted children into the loving care of their parents. And men, God is looking for some men who will stand up and fight for their family. It's called the good fight of faith. And if you live long enough and if you go through the phases of rearing your children, you will understand this fight much better. So we need young people and old people because God is a generational God. And I want to let you know that these flowers today, they are in memory of Brother Bud Tedder, the peace lilies. He's with his Father now in heaven. It's his first homegoing with the Father. And these are in memory of him. He was a charter member of this church and one of my great friends, and he helped me a lot as a young pastor. And as all of you do, I love Brother Bud Tedder and his family's here. We give him honor today. Give them a big hand clap of praise and thanksgiving also. Hallelujah. Men, Bud Tedder was a man that stood in the gap for his family. And God is looking for some men who will stand and fight for their family. I want you to look at Ephesians 6 and 4 that I've chosen as a text. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." The church has the same responsibility to young people that it has to anyone else, any generation. And that responsibility is to preach the Word of God. And I promise you, if you will get them here, Pastor Ricky Nims and myself, we will preach the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's our responsibility to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season, to rebuke, to correct, to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. My subject this morning, the Father's God-given authority. Brother Philip Pearson, if you would come, please, and just pray God's anointing upon the messenger and the message this morning.
Father God, thank you today for the privilege this hour.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the privilege to be here in your house. Thank you for your presence in our midst. We pray, Father, that you would give anointing to our pastor this morning, that he may bring to us the oracles of God. Give us anointing that we may have hearts that are ready and receptive for your word. And I pray that you would bless your word today, that it may not return unto you void, but accomplish the mission wherein you intend it. Bless, Lord, we pray today. Be high and lifted up in this place. Be glorified, for you, our Father, are the model for all of us as fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Men, this is Father's Day, and I want to put a challenge before you today because our nation is in trouble. The foundations that made America strong, such as morality and honesty and integrity and godliness, these foundations, they are all under attack. But I believe we can change this, but it will not be a massive movement that changes things. It will be done in the homes, one home at a time, as men take their rightful position in the home. Godly fathers are in critical demand in America today, and here's why. The family in America is being destroyed. That is a diabolical attack on the family. If you can destroy the family, you can destroy the moral fabric of any culture. And our culture is promoting things that are not family-oriented values. We've gone crazy, it looks like, as a nation. Looks like we've gone wild. Our Judeo-Christian values, they are a little more than a memory if you listen to the news media. The news media, the entertainment media, the political world, our U.S. court system, they're generally hostile to biblical Christianity and biblical values. Amen. Same-sex marriage is promoted as an alternative lifestyle. And guess what? Our school system and your tax dollars are supporting this. Teenage pregnancy is rampant. This last presidential election, it was not about two men. It was not about two political parties. It was about two social platforms and two systems of cultural values. This nation was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got all types of agnostics and atheists and other world religions that have invaded our shores. But we are still a Christian nation. We still believe in God. America still believes in the flag. We still believe in this flag, the Christian flag. We are a people with values, and we need to return to our biblical values. Under this current administration, we have seen millions of jobs eliminated, and that is nothing other than the promotion of a welfare state to make us socialist and not a Democrat society. Socialism has never worked. It will never work. Our system of government is the greatest system of government that has ever been because it came right out of the Bible. We have witnessed open borders, and our lawmakers have become lawbreakers. The current administration, I'm just preaching the truth right now, is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-prayer, anti-Bible, and they've tried to shut down the churches and take away the religious freedoms that we have. What do you think about COVID-19? We know it's real, but they used it to shut the churches down. They haven't shut Walmart down. They haven't shut down Best Buy. I'll give you a plug, Pastor Ricky. They haven't shut down the restaurants. Amen. They've shut down, tried to shut down the churches. Why is that? Because they want to change our culture. Transgender, same-sex marriage, and ungodly confusion, they are teaching that garbage in our school system, and your tax dollars are paying for that. I'm glad I was born in a time when men knew that they were men and women knew that they were women, and there was no confusion about it. Aren't you glad that your head is screwed on straight this morning? Hallelujah. See, that is an attack that is going on the family and the social fabric of our culture. It is the socialistic agenda of this present administration that is being carried out. And our country morals, if we allow this, guess what? They will deteriorate even more. We cannot allow what is going on. We the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, establish liberty, amen, with justice, tranquility, all of that stuff, it all belongs to us. We have constitutional rights. Our forefathers saw to that. The forefathers of the faith saw to that, that there was a strong church in America, and it's up to this current generation to make sure that we have a strong faith going into the future. Me and your family and your children, they need you. And the fathers have a God-given responsibility and authority to lead their family. God chose the man to be the head of the family. The Bible says, submit yourself to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. Men, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Who wouldn't want a man that would be responsible for his family, that would stand up and say, the buck stops here. I'm the one that will take care of you, sweetheart. Every queen needs a king. Amen. Come on, women, help me out. Every queen needs a king, and men, we need to stand up and be the kings and priests in our home. Father's the head of the family. The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And as the head of the family, you're to love your children. You're to bring them up in the nurture, the fear, and the admonition of the Lord. They are teaching critical race theory in our schools to divide our nation even further. It makes little children who are black feel like that they are inferior to the white children. That's a lie out of hell. It makes promotes white supremacy and makes white children feel ashamed that they're white. But I remember a little song when I was a child. They taught it in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children of the world, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And we are all of one blood, and that blood, praise God, came from the first man, Adam. And no matter what the color of your skin, you are somebody, and you don't have to be inferior. You don't have to feel inferior. God made you just who you are, and you are who you are by the grace of God. So make something of your life. You're in the greatest country in the world. It's called America, and people all over the world want to come here. I could tell you some stories how they tried to stop me and tell me I was inferior when I came home from Vietnam. Closed doors in my face for job. Closed colleges in my face. But I made a decision. I am in America. I will not let any man dictate my future. I will make something of myself. And if you're in America, it's the land of opportunity, the home of the free and the brave. So go on and make something of your life and get over what this political system's trying to shove down your throat. Hallelujah. See, when you promote one race against another, that is structured racism. And the present administration, which endorses this particular ideology, their agenda is the most racist agenda of all. They are the racists, and they try to tell us we're the racists. No, we love everybody. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and we love people. It's just that simple. Destroy the family, promote racism, and you destroy the moral and the social fabric of any culture. Church, we all need one another. And Father, your family needs you, and you need to lead your family from a biblical perspective. Now, I could ignore all of this and fail in my God-given assignment. I could fail to be the watchman that God called me to be. I could fail to warn people of the impending danger, but I just chose not to do it. I'm going to give you what we need, what is real, because what is real is where we live. It's not up there in Washington, D.C. It's not a bunch of people that decide what we do. We have a brain. We have rights. And we decide what we do. And we will never bend our knees to a socialistic doctrine that tries to tell us what to do. I'll bend my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll bend my knees to the Father, which is in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I tell you something, it's wonderful to be a child of God. And if you're not saved, you need to be saved. And you need to stand up for biblical principles and biblical rights and constitutional things. I've got preacher friends that pride themselves and say, I never talk about politics in my sermon. I'd be ashamed to do that. I'd be ashamed not to stand up and call sin, sin, and to call oppression, oppression, and to cause the works of the devil, just to ignore them and let those things go on. No, praise God. We are free. This nation is free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Go on, say it with me. I'm free, praise God. The Son has made me free, and I live in a free nation. Glory to God. Every generation has the same need because every generation needs some godly men. The Bible teaches us how to live. You can't listen to that crowd, the news media. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't even know who they are. And we got people in our educational system. They don't even know what they are today. How can they know what they'll be tomorrow? I know where I'm headed, praise God. I'm looking for a city whose building maker is God. It has foundation, and we can make it. And we can look at the Bible, and we can glean some wonderful truths from it. Let's look at the story of Noah. Hallelujah. Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. He was a great father. Noah's greatest accomplishment was his family's faith and the salvation of his entire family. He raised his family in a difficult time. It was an age of wickedness, an age of corruption, an age of great deception. But Noah was a just man. But you know what? He was just a man also. But he was a just man because he believed in Jehovah God. He was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. I'm so glad that song we were singing, Amazing Grace, that I found grace in the eyes of God. Because I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, He took my place on the cross where He died, my sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved, praise God, I'm saved by grace. If that's your testimony, go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Noah was a righteous man, and because of his faith, he and his entire household, they were spared when destruction came. Noah won his entire family to the Lord because his family saw something in him. They saw his faithful walk with God, and they followed it. Noah was a great father. I hope my children see something in me, and they say, Daddy was a godly man. And I hope my grandchildren see that characteristic in my life. I hope God, that characteristic is seen in all the families that are represented here. You know, Noah was a great father, and he was great because of his faith in God, and God used him. Isn't it wonderful? And God will use anyone who will walk with him. I thought about Ezekiel and the conditions of Ezekiel's day. They were much like the condition of America today. A godly nation had grown sinful. A strong nation had become weak. People were flocking after false gods, and they had forsaken the true and the living God. Sin was openly endorsed. And look at what God said in Ezekiel 22 and 30. He said, I sought for a man. He was looking for some men, just like the United States Marines. They say, we're looking a few good men. And God said, I sought for a man among them that should stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Isn't that a terrible indictment? God has found some men here at Westmoreland. God has found some men in the other churches across this nation that are standing in the gap for this land. And we're not going to sit idly by and just watch everything fall apart. No, we believe God, And God said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their land. If you're headed into a marriage, I want to tell you something. Get your heart right with God. The devil is out to destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll destroy that love. He'll destroy that family. He'll destroy anything that you let him destroy. That's what he does. That's his modus operandi. But I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't get me mixed up with that. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many want the more abundant life? That's what I want. I want everything that Jesus paid for at Calvary. Hallelujah. Things were terrible in Ezekiel days. Man, I can't overemphasize these principles that are found in the Word of God. You have a great responsibility to your family, to your wife, and to your children. Look at my text once again, Ephesians 6 and 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look at that word right here. But fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but it's what you call in the inference. In the English language, an inference. But you fathers, this is how it should read. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but you fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's an inference in the English language. It's not stated, it's inferred. He's not talking to anybody in this verse, but the fathers. So fathers, suit up, put on the whole arm of God, get battle ready, and fight for your families, because our nation is under attack. It's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. We got the squad up there who are, they don't even believe in the God we believe in. That we got all kind of crazy stuff going on, and it's up to some men in this nation to stand up and put things in order. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. People say the church is losing its young people. But the truth of the matter is this, the church has no young people to lose because God has entrusted the children to their parents. It is not the church that decides whether or not your children will come to church. It is not the church that decides if you will have prayer and family devotion in your home. It is not the church that decides whether your children will be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It is not the church that decides what time your teenagers will come in at night. You might not have any children, you might not have any teenagers yet. But I promise you, when you get to that phase in your life, you will have some nights and some time that you wonder where they are and what they're doing. And you'll have to set some rules and regulations that they abide by. Amen. I tell you what, if they sit at my table, if they eat my food, if they drive my cars, if they wear my clothes, praise God, they're going to follow my rules, and you need to put some rules, and you don't need to listen to this crazy culture. You need to listen to what the Bible has to say, and the man of God that brings your word, you need to get your brain tuned into the right wavelengths, and that's to the Almighty God who is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He cares about you. He loves you, and God will see to it that you and your family make it if you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The preacher does not decide what TV programs your kid can watch and do not watch. It is not the preacher that decides the type of music your children listen to or the places that they go. The church does not choose the friends your children bring home or run around with. The church does not decide who your children date. Parents, who are you kidding? It is your responsibility. You cannot blame the church. You cannot blame the culture. You cannot blame the school system. If you want to know where the problem starts, it starts right in the home. I see my daughter here. She's shaking her head. She's got two children. She thought I was weird and I was different because of some of my rules. And they would even tell me, Daddy, you're weird. You got some strange ideas. But they watch me, and now she's got children, a teenager, and one that's going to be a teenager in a few more years. And yes, Daddy, you're right. You're telling the truth. I used to have to check on her and my others. But thank God they're all in the house of God and they're all saved today. Bring up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. They may depart for a season. You get the seed of this word down in their heart. They will come in. My younger one, we sent her to a Christian school. She was always in church and brought up, and she told me, said, "I'm just not like you, Daddy." Said, "I'm not like you and Mother, and I don't believe all that stuff you taught me." I said, "Doesn't bother me a bit what you say. I put the Word of God in your heart. I know it's in there, and I know it will bring forth of itself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Today she's saved. Her husband's saved. The little children love God. I tell you, God will save you and your whole family if you will just bring your children and your family up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Hallelujah. My Lord. If your child is lost, don't blame God. Pray and fast. Father, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And if there's no husband in the home, then mothers, it is your responsibility to do this. I thought about Timothy, Paul's son in the Lord. He said, "Timothy, I see a faith in you." He said, "It first was in your grandmother, Lois, and now in your mother Eunice." And he said, "I see that same faith in you." How did it get in there? Because he was brought up, even though we know nothing of his dad, mother and grandmother. They took that risk. Woo! Pastor Ricky brought that grandmother and mother, taught him the scriptures, and that faith that was in them got in him. That's how it works. God is a generational God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Bailey Nelson, Jerry Nelson, Jason Nelson, and all my kids. Hallelujah. That's how it works. Men, God has given you a great responsibility. And the father has a tremendous influence in the lives of his children. I found this poem years ago, and I love it. It says, "There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching you night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in everything you say. There are little hands all eager to do the things you do. And a little boy who is dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's hero. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. He believes in you devoutly, holds all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he grows up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fella who believes you're always right. And his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who is waiting to grow up to be like you." What a tremendous influence the father in the home has. Thank God for godly fathers. Thank God for fathers who are with their families. Thank God for fathers, because they help determine the social fabric of the culture. Fathers, God has given you a treasure, and your children's future, much of it depends upon you. You know, I thought about the people that have been saved. They believe in God. They believe in the blood of Jesus, but they're not in the church today. And our culture has tried to shut the church down. Yet the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much the more, exhorting one another as you see the day approach." Exhort one another what? To come to church. To be in the house of God, so your little children and your grandchildren can learn the Word of God. It's the Father's love that we have the church. Jesus gave himself for the church. Can you imagine watching your son go to an old rugged cross and pay redemption's price and strip stark naked and mocked and shamed, and his blood going out of his body, and he's crying, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time ever, he felt forsaken of the Father. Why? Because he was made sin with my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world. So we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He took my place. He loved me so much, praise God, that God spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to him I have resigned. Praise God. I have been redeemed. And when I got redeemed, my whole world changed. My mindset was, I determined to renew it with the word of God. I determined to lay down the old sin. The Bible says you are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I decided I just do the best I can. Hallelujah. And I'll grow in grace and knowledge. And Father God loves me. I found that out and he's going to help me. That's all you got to know right there. The blood of Jesus washes all sin away. Come to church, hear the word, grow in grace, and get your life changed. I thought about the people away from God and how they could come to God. I thought about Jacob, who was a man away from God. He had an encounter with God, and he saw angels ascending and descending upon a ladder, and that ladder reached all the way up to heaven. He said, I have found the house of God. I have found the gateway to heaven. Amen. That's what Bethel means, the house of bread, the house of God. He said, I found the gateway to heaven. You want to know what the gateway to heaven is? Come to church. Hallelujah. He saw the supernatural power of God released in his life. And he left that place and he walked away from God. He walked away from God just like some people walk away from a church service. And they forget about their encounter with God. This is the Jacob who, while he was running from God, he ran head on to the angel of the Lord at the brook called Jabbok. And there he wrestled all night long. And finally, the Lord knocked his hip out of joint. Jacob said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And God blessed him. He said, your name is no longer Jacob, which means swindler or deceiver. But your name shall be called Israel, which means a prince with God. Now, Jacob, he's on his way home, and God called him and said, go back to Bethel. Jacob had been sort of in and out, up and down. He was never established in his faith. Jacob had never fully surrendered to God. Listen to me carefully. But now, Jacob's family, it is in trouble. His daughter has run with the daughters of the land. She has been where she should not have been. She has been seduced and she has been raped and molested. And the Bible says she had been defiled. And her brothers, the sons of Jacob, they said, we'll get even. And they went out and they killed everything that got in their way. You're talking about a family in trouble. These were the sons that would later be called the children of Israel. I mean Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, and others. These are the sons of Israel, and at this point in their life, they are wild. They're delinquent. They're godless. Some of you children who are going to have children, some of you parents, you're going to face these things with your children, and you need to make sure that your calling and election is right. Their daddy was a man of God away from God. I had a hard lesson out of life. I've had a lot of hard lessons, and I could have avoided some of them if I had just listened to what my parents told me. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I told my mother, I said, Mother, this is the greatest thing I've ever known. Why didn't I give my heart to Jesus when I was a little boy? I heard him call me to preach when I was a small lad. Why didn't I give my heart to Jesus? She said, Son, you were blind. You couldn't see. And I was reading my Bible one day in 2 Corinthians 4:3, thereabouts. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid by the god of this world, the devil, who has blinded their minds to the glorious gospel, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them and they should be free. When I read that, I said, devil, you were dragging me off to in chains of darkness to a devil's hell. I'm mad with you, and every day I get up, I want the demons to scream down the heart of the hell. He's up again, he's up again, he's up again. I said, I'm up again, and I'm coming against your kingdom in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to tear your kingdom down. That's the kind of attitude you need to get. That's the way you bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. A man of God, away from God. Men, listen to me. This is a special day where we honor men. And I need to say something that needs to be said. And the number one covering that God gives your family is the father of the home. Let me say that again. The number one covering that God gives your family is the head of the home called father. The word Bethel means house of God. And the second covering that God provides for a family is the church, the house of God. Thank you for being here today. Jacob had failed his family. And God spoke to him and said, if you'll get them back to the rock, if you'll get them back to the altar, if you'll get them back to which I first appeared to you, I will cover your family. And me and your family needs your covering. And your family needs the covering of the church. I encourage you to take your children and your family to church. Take your children to church because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be away from God, but you're in danger if you are. Jesus never promised to build your marriage. He never promised to build your career. He never promised that what you have dreamed that's outside of his will, he would fulfill. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So connect yourself and your family to church. And when the storms of life come, you won't be on sinking sand, your boat's not going down. You will be established on the solid rock of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and your storms will survive the issues of life. So we've got Jacob. God says, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar to God who appeared to you when you first fled from your brother Esau. I believe this was Jacob's last call. And so he looked around at his children, his defiled daughter, his boys with blood on their hands, and he finally takes his God-given authority. He repented himself, and now he's about to make restoration. And here's what he said. He told his entire family. He said, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean. And let us arise and go to the house of God. And just like Jacob, men, we're responsible to clean up our lives, to clean up our homes, and to clean out the strange gods. Oh, I could preach a long time. You say, I don't have any strange gods. How about the music your kids listen to? How about the movies you let them watch? How about the Harry Potter books and the witchcraft and the symbols that are in your home? Have you cleaned all of that? So I fought hell for my children, I tell you. And I prayed some long hours for their mental, spiritual, and physical well-being. And like I said earlier, I know a lot of times they haven't understood me. They thought I was weird. They thought I was different. Amen. But from the moment the Lord saved me, I put away the strange gods. And I have tried to do right by my family and by my children. They haven't always understood me, but that did not stop me from praying for them. That does not stop me from caring. You can recover from your setbacks. You can snap back from your setback, and you can become what God has purposed for your life. But if you follow the way of the world, I can promise you this, on the authority of God's word and from experiences in life, you'll come up short. I'll tell you when you'll find total fulfillment is when you fall upon your knees and you cry out and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I want that more abundant life that you prayed for. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you want to come and pray, if you're away from God, Jacob was a man of God, away from God. And God said, arise, go back to that altar. Go back to where you first met me. Well, you saw those angels ascending. You heard great testimonies in that church. Where you were when you felt the presence of God. Come here, Brother Nate, and anoint him with oil. He's going to anoint you. You anoint him right up here. Hallelujah. He believes in anointing. He's been brought up right. Hallelujah. Come on up here, Pastor Nate. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You go. I'll come behind you. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Shananiah, he believes in order. He believes in coming to God. Hallelujah. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you, Charlie, in the name of Jesus. And Shananiah, hallelujah. And Mandisi, we bless you. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. He's waiting for that one. Hallelujah. Malachi, be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Mandisi, I bless you. That spirit of anger that's tried to take you over, I cast it out once before and I command it. Never return in Jesus' yes. name. Now walk in the peace of God. Come the man of God you're supposed to be. Hallelujah.
Amazing love, how can it be?
Think about God's love.
That you, my King, would die for me.
I'm so thankful for that love.
Amazing love, I know it's true.
Lord, help me to be a better daddy.
And it's my joy to honor you.
Lord, help me to understand my little grandchildren.
In all I
pray winning prayers for them.
I honor you.
Lord, all the fathers and mothers that are here today that have children away from God, they've come back to God. And Lord, I thank you for saving their children, their seed. You see, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your household. Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you might.
Fathers, if you want to come to the altar and stand here, we'll pray a special blessing over you and then we'll dismiss you.
Amazing love,
you're a man.
I know
you want this
true.
Special prayer prayed over you.
It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
All I do, Lord.
I honor you.
You just feel the impression of the Lord to come to his altar. You can do it.
Amazing love, I
love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you, God, that I was brought up in the greatest nation on planet Earth where I could hear the gospel.
And it's my joy
where I could learn about Jesus.
In all I do,
all I do,
I honor you.
You are my King.
Oh, you are my King. Yes, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you.
Father, I just pray for these men and women gathered here at your altar. Lord, I just release your amazing grace. Lord, thank you for every battle they have fought. Thank you, Lord, for every victory they have won. because the Word of God declares whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And our faith is in the love of the Father. Our faith is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the power of the Holy Ghost. Our faith is in the Word of God, because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Lord Jesus, you are the surety, the guarantee of this new and better covenant. You're the testator that died, that rose again. You ever lived to make intercession for the saints. You're the mediator between God and man. You're the advocate when we fail. You're the all in all. You're the Son of the living God with all power in heaven and earth in your name. And we love you and we praise you. Thank you for introducing us to the Father, that the blood made it possible for us to come and know the Father. You said, if you have me, you have the Father. If you don't know me, you can't know the Father. But we know you, Jesus. Help us to be conformed to your image, that our children and grandchildren can see in us the resemblance of Jesus. They can see the Jesus of the Bible. And God, thank you for fathers and the God-given authority that you have given to them. Amazing love. Oh.